Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter 2 is where we're going to be at today, and we are continuing our series from Egypt to the Promised Land, in which we're learning more about our relationship with God through his dealings with Israel. And so far we've seen that God has a way of turning a test into a testimony. We were challenged to pursue Christ and not comfort. And then last week we thought about how we as Christians can ensure we are standing straight even in a crooked world. And so first we said we need to make sure that we are standing on the Bible, that the foundation, that our beliefs, that what we are standing for is what the Word of God says. That's something that is steadfast and sure. It won't lead us astray. And so let God's Word be our authority and our determining factor. To do so, we need to know what God's Word says. And that's one reason why we come together and we look at God's Word each week. But hopefully you're looking at it, reading it, studying it throughout the week, so you can know the Word of God and know how it applies to your life. Then we said that we need to be sure that when we're standing on God's Word, that we are standing biblically, that we need to make sure that we both have the right position and the right disposition, because you can believe the right things and you can behave badly. And I find that that is quite common. And so I want to not just stand on the right things, but I want to stand the right way. After that, we also need to be willing to accept the consequences, because following God does not exempt you from consequences. It does not give you a free pass to escape trouble. We find plenty of examples through Scripture where God's people took a stand and then things got hard. And they were willing to go through it anyway, because they were standing with God and standing on what was right. And so that brought us to the last thing that really should probably be the first thing, is that we need to stand with Christ. We need to make sure that we have a close daily walk with Christ, and it's going to ensure that we are standing on the Bible, that we are standing biblically, and that we are remaining standing when things get rough, if we are walking with him each step of the way. So today we're going to introduce one of the main characters in the book of Exodus, and the whole Exodus in general. We've set the stage. Israel is in Egypt. They have grown in number. They're being oppressed to keep them suppressed. They're trying to keep them under their thumb. And so God only led them to Egypt for a time, and it was nearing time to lead them out. The only thing that he was lacking is he needed a leader to lead them. He needed a deliverer to deliver them. And so, as is often the case, God chooses to work in unusual ways. He chooses to work through people, and he chooses to use what looks like weakness and defeat to bring some of the greatest victories. And so, as we look at this account of Moses' beginning, I want you to pay attention to where human ability meets divine ability and how it works together to accomplish God's will. Okay? So let's look at Exodus chapter 2. We're going to read the first 10 verses. And we'll see where we go from there. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew's children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wage.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh, unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. We thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for just Sundays and our time that we can come together out of the world and just fellowship with your people, Lord, around your word. And Lord, I pray, thank you for your word that you've given us, Lord, to instruct us, to encourage us, to draw us to you. Lord, we just pray now that you would guide and direct me as I preach. Lord, help me to bring out these truths, Lord, that you've been placing upon my heart, dealing with me about. And I just pray that it would be a blessing and encouragement to those who are here. Lord, I would just pray that you'd minister to each person exactly where they're at. Lord, give them what they need, I pray. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that don't know you as their Savior, that even today would be the day that they would repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do, Lord, and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, and amen. Have you ever questioned what God's expectations was for you? What is it that God wants for me? What is it that he requires of me? Because I know I have, and there seems to exist a tension. There's a tension between what my responsibility is, what Christian service is, and where my faith is, okay? How much of it is I have to do, and how much of it is trusting God to do? Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought about this? Because I've often got caught in this, because here's the thing. If I put all the pressure on myself, if I think it's all up to me, then I'm not trusting God. But if I put all my emphasis on God, and it's like, God's going to work this out, God's going to do this, and I'm going to sit and do nothing, that's not right either. And so oftentimes I've kind of tried to figure out, where is the line between my responsibility and my faith? And in this passage, I kind of see a good example to help illustrate where that line lies. And so if we sit and do nothing, saying that we're trusting in God, we have almost a fatalist mentality. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. Then I don't believe that's right. But if we're on the other side and say, it's up to me, I've got to make it happen, I've got to do it, it all depends on me, there's no faith in that, that's not right. And what we find is, if we put the pressure on ourselves to get things done, there's no faith. We put the pressure on God to get things done, there's no action. And so we have to figure out where that line is. I will say that there's probably others that have never really considered either. They're not really too worried about what God would have them to do. They're not considering what my responsibility is. They're just trying to figure out, what do I want, not what does God want. And if you're in that category, I want you to know that God is at work, that God is active, that he has plans for you, and he means for this life to be about more than just this life. And if we're just focused on, what do I want out of this, what do I want to do, we're missing out. We need to figure out, what does God have for me? And so in our passage today, we find chaos. Is that a good way to put it? That Egypt's ruler decreed that all male babies were to be thrown into the crocodile-infested river. The happy event of childbirth became something that would have been feared. Could you imagine a woman finding out, I'm pregnant, and then the next thought being, oh no, am I going to have to kill my own baby? That would have been a bad place to be. Probably for one of the first times in a kind of a patriarchal society, they were praying for girls, right? And so anyway, we are introduced to this couple in scripture here. It wasn't named in the passage that I read, but in a couple chapters they're named. And the names of Moses' parents are Amram and Jochebed. Okay? His mom's name is Jochebed, just in case you're confused which one's which. And so anyway, whenever the baby is born, it is a son, and the king's command is to throw the baby into the river. But his parents, like the midwives that we looked at last week, chose what was right over what was legal. And so desperately they hid the baby that should have been celebrated, and whenever they couldn't anymore, because it's hard to hide a three-month-old baby, right? Their lungs get stronger, their cry gets louder, it's a little bit harder to hide. And so whenever they can no longer hide him, Jochebed decides to comply with the law. She's going to put her baby in the river, but she gets creative about it. She's going to put the baby in somewhat of a makeshift boat, and she's going to then put the baby in the river. And that's, in a way, that's kind of humorous to me. Pharaoh says, throw the baby in the river. She's like, okay, I'll do it, but I'm going to put him in a boat. Mm-hmm. Technically, I complied, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, we know that a baby's not going to live very long in those conditions. So anyway, she seems to have done what she could, and now she was relying on God to do what she couldn't.
Yes, exactly.
And that's kind of where we're wanting to be at on this today. We don't know what was going through her head. We don't know if she was putting the baby in the river thinking, okay, God's going to work out a miracle. God's going to bring somebody here to protect. She's just saying, I'm not going to put the baby in the river and watch him die before my eyes.
Right.
It could have just been a last-ditch effort to say, okay, he's going to die, but I'm not going to be there to see it. Mm-hmm. Or she could have been saying, okay, I'm going to give God space to work in this situation. Yes. We don't know, and we can't really put thoughts into her mind there, but whenever we go through difficulties, when we go through trials, I think it's important for us to leave space for God to work. It's easy to see God's hand in the rest of this story. It just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter was by the river at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The baby cried just whenever he needed to pull on her heartstrings a little bit, right? There's a lot of times we find in Scripture that things that just happen at the right time. Whenever Ruth comes up out of Moab and she's there gleaning in the fields, her hap was to light on a field that belonged to Boaz. It just so happened, mm-hmm. right? But anyway, the baby cried just whenever he needed to. She took the baby, and then Miriam, Moses' sister, offered to get someone to care for the baby, and Jochebed was able to raise her own son and get paid for it.
Yes.
By the daughter of the one that ordered his death.
Right.
That's pretty interesting. God has a sense of humor. And so this is a great story, but how does it apply to us? All through our lives, we're going to face choices. We're going to face situations. Some are difficult. Some are seemingly impossible. But as children of God, we need to know how to approach each one. Is it all up to me? Is it all up to God? What does God want me to do in this situation? And so really, it's not that hard because we do serve a good God.
Yes.
So the first thing that I want us to see in this is that I believe God expects us to do what we can. I believe he expects us to do what we can. It's not his desire. It's not his will for us to sit and do nothing.
Right.
Okay. And so he expects us to do what we can. As Jochebed considered her situation, she had to figure out what she could do. Apparently, they kept the pregnancy hid, and then she delivered the baby, and she did all she could to hide the baby for 3 months. And we just read over that, just kind of gloss over it. She hid the baby for 3 months, but we didn't realize all that entailed.
Yeah, really.
How she was constantly, vigilantly making sure to feed the baby exactly whenever she needed to so he wouldn't cry very long, trying to keep him comfortable, trying to keep the neighbors away, trying to keep work. And every day was almost a fight for survival, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was doing all these things, trying to keep the baby hidden. And she did it for 3 months. And then when she could no longer hide him, she made the boat, set him afloat, right?
Yeah.
And so she was doing all that she could. She was doing everything in her power. All through the Bible, we find situations where God could have miraculously solved things.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he chose to use men to do what they could first,
yeah.
right? Think about Israel whenever they came out of Egypt and all the plagues and everything. God could have just changed Pharaoh's heart, could have just changed Pharaoh's mind. He didn't do that. Instead, he started using Moses to go in and to negotiate with Pharaoh. And he was using Moses to show Pharaoh the God that they served, showing Pharaoh that their gods that the Egyptians were serving were no gods at all. He had a plan, but he was using Moses to do it. Right. Whenever they marched around Jericho, God could have just caused the walls to fall flat. He could have caused the people to surrender. He could have spoken the word and they would have just fell over dead. But instead, he chooses for Israel to march around the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 days, I believe it was, they marched around the walls one time. And they're sitting out there saying, why are we doing this? And God says, I want to use you in this in a way. Okay, seventh day, they march around it seven times, I think.
Yes.
Walls fall down flat,
mm-hmm.
and they go in and defeat the people.
Yes.
We see repeatedly whenever they are conquering the promised land, and even many battles after that, where God could have just sent the enemy fleeing away, but instead he led his people to fight battles. There's one interesting one, this is later on, but there's one interesting one where the armies come against them, and they're greatly outnumbered, and they have no idea what to do, and they call on God, and the prophet comes to them and says, dig ditches.
Yeah.
You guys remember the story?
Yes.
It said, dig ditches. And the ditches collected water.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the enemy saw all the ditches full of water, they thought they were full of blood. They had a red look to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they fled away. But God says, dig ditches. Mm-hmm. Right? A story that I've used many times, I've preached on, is whenever the enemy was surrounding Samaria. God sent the lepers out to be the messengers. God employs people to do what they can in these situations, right? In the New Testament, Jesus often required things of those he performed miracles for. Usually it was a means of them demonstrating faith. They did what they could, and God did what they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He could have fed the 5,000 with nothing. He didn't have to have the lunch of the little boy, the five loaves and the or seven loaves, whichever it was, and two fishes.
Yeah.
Five loaves and two fishes. Yeah. He didn't have to have the little boy's lunch. I mean, that wasn't enough to feed, but just the little boy, right?
Yeah.
But God says, I'm going to take what he's got and I'm going to multiply it.
Yes.
Then whenever he came, paid sin's penalty on the cross, he could have used many different ways to get the method of salvation to all men, but he chose to employ the disciples, chose to employ us in getting the gospel out, right? And he also requires men to respond to the gospel.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, okay, all the world is saved. He says, anyone who wants to be, anyone who will come to me.
Yes.
It's clear from Scripture that God wants us to do what we can. He doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we can find several times in Scripture where that is the case. For instance, a very good one, whenever they came to the tomb of Lazarus. You remember the story of Lazarus?
Yes.
He's laid in the grave for 4 days. By now he stinketh, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus comes to the tomb, and what does he say?
Roll away the stone.
Roll away the stone. Did he need them to roll away the stone?
No.
No. But they could do that, couldn't they?
Yeah.
And then he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. Could they do that part?
No.
No, he couldn't do that. They couldn't do that part. And then whenever he comes forth, he's bound with grave clothes. And he tells his disciples, loose him and set him free. Jesus could have made the grave clothes fall off, but he says, loose him.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a part in this, right?
Yeah.
And so what does it all look like practically? For us, in day-to-day lives, if you want a job, or you want a new job, don't just pray and wait for it to fall in your lap.
Yeah.
Is that simple?
Yeah.
God, send me a job. I need a new job. And then do nothing.
Yeah.
No. Don't wait for it to fall in your lap. Search, apply, upskill, do what you can.
Right.
And then trust him to make things align. Trust him to bring things together. Trust him to give you favor in the eyes of whoever he's going to have you to be employed by. Right? You do what you can. And trust him for the rest. If you want a better marriage, we've been looking at marriage in our Sunday school class for a while. If you want a better marriage, you don't just say, God, improve my marriage. You actually have to put feet on your prayers, right? Yes, you need to be praying. That's very important. You need to be praying. You need to be trusting God. But you also need to be practically involved in that. How can I improve? We need to be talking. We need to be listening. We need to be trying. We need to be putting effort into what we are seeking to improve. If you want your kids to turn out well, you don't just pray for them. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. If you're going to have your children turn out well, then you're going to have to be training them. You see how this works? If you have friends and family that don't know Christ, you can be praying for them to get saved, but you also need to be living in such a way that glorifies God, that they can see him in your life and see that you actually believe what you're talking about. And you need to actually be talking about it whenever you get the opportunity. You can't save them. You can't make them believe, but you can tell them. You can model it before them. You can show them. You can be an example, but you can't do it for them.
Right.
And so in all of these things, you have your limits. There's only so much you can do. And God does not expect for you to do more than that. He does not expect more out of you than you're capable of. He is not unreasonable. Right? And so you have your limits, and he's well aware of them, and they're probably a little bit more than what you believe them to be. You can probably do more than what you think that you can. And we're going to see that probably next week whenever we talk about Moses, whenever Moses says, find somebody else, I'm not able. And God says, yes, you are. Okay? But God expects us to do what we can. The next thing that we see is he expects us to trust him with the rest. And I've kind of already alluded to that in our first point. But there came a point in time whenever Jochebed had done all she could. You look in verse number 3, she could no longer hide him.
Mm-hmm.
She was coming to her end, right?
Yeah.
She even went beyond what we would expect her to do, and she built the ark, right?
Yeah.
She's out there. She takes a basket, weaves it together, puts slime and pitch all over the outside of it. She's got a little boat for him. She puts the baby in it, puts it out on the water. And she's like, I've done everything I know how to do. I've exhausted my resources. Mm-hmm. And I figure that she prayed as she launched that little ark out into the bulrushes. God, I've done all I could. Please do what I can.
Yes.
Right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to do your own thing and then use God as a spare tire whenever you get in over your head.
Right.
A lot of people look at God that way. It's like, okay, I'm going to plow forward. I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to work out my own desires. And then whenever things fall apart, then I'm going to call God. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But what I am saying is that the Christian life is a relationship and you have your part and God has his. Don't try to do his part and don't expect him to do yours.
Right.
That's simple enough, isn't it? So a lot of the time it means just doing what you believe to be right to the best of your ability and trusting him to bring the right outcomes. Just serving him faithfully each day, doing the best you can, living for him, and allowing for him to work all things together for good.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Stepping out in faith. See, God can't direct a stationary object.
Right.
Right? He tells us that he can direct our paths, but our feet have to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be doing something, and then God can bring those things together. He can work them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving forward to the best of our ability, trusting him to work it all. Mm-hmm. We know that Joseph, back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Genesis, hated by his brother, sold into slavery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kept doing what was right, living right in every circumstance, and trusting God to work it out. David didn't know how to become a king after he was anointed by Samuel, right?
Right.
Could you imagine how overwhelming that would be? Thinking, God expects me to be a king?
Yeah.
I'm just a shepherd. What do I know? And so David just continues to behave himself wisely. He doesn't go out and try to make himself king. He just continues following God, doing the best he can, and allowing God to guide his steps. And guess where he ends up at? He ends up on the throne. For us, we can put in the applications, we can take the courses, but we can't make anyone offer us a job.
Right.
We can't even be sure that it's going to be the right job. This is something that's often petrified me, because I was always afraid of making the wrong decision, taking the wrong step. And I cannot see how things are going to turn out. I cannot see how things are going to work out. I can't see how this prospective employer is going to treat me. I can't see what's going to happen 5 years down the road. I can't see whether this is going to be a good fit for my family, but God can.
Right.
And so this is where it all comes together. I do what I can, and I trust him with the rest.
Yes.
I act in faith, and I trust him to put it together. We can't move the heart of our spouse or our kids, but we can do what's right. And we can continue trusting God to work in their hearts.
Right.
See, there's a limit to our abilities. I can do what's right. I can do what I am able to do. I can do what, but then I have to trust God to work in the situations where I can't. I can't make her do anything. Right? But I can do what I'm supposed to do.
Right?
And trust God to be working in her life as he's working in mine.
Yeah.
Okay? Same thing goes with pastoring a church. Whenever God called me to this work, I was like Moses, we'll see that next week. I have no clue what I'm doing. How's this going to work?
Yeah.
I'm not able. I don't have the abilities, right?
Right.
But there are certain things I can do.
Right.
I can study God's word. I can teach it to you.
Yeah.
I can preach, kind of. Right? I can help lead the services, do these things. I can be there whenever you guys call and text, whenever you guys need to. I can do these things. But how to see people saved, to how see people growing, to be able to minister to you the way that I think that I should, I'm not able. And so I do what I can, and I trust God to do the rest.
Right.
You see how this works?
Yes.
Whenever it comes to lost people, we'd like to see people saved.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who are praying for salvation.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who are wanting to see trusting Christ or sins forgiven. I want to see them in heaven one of these days.
Yes.
But I can't make them believe.
Right.
I can't make them take that step of faith.
Yes.
I can't make them even listen. Yeah. Right? But I can live it. I can speak it. And I can pray for God to do his work in their lives.
Exactly.
There's a limit to what we're able to do. No limit to God, but there's a limit to us. When we can be honest with ourselves about our abilities and about our limitations, we can then determine what's our part and what's God's part. And I believe that's encouraging and liberating. We don't have to do God's part. We don't have to do his work. We leave it up to him. We trust him because he knows what he's doing. What am I able to do? That's my limit.
Mm-hmm.
Trust God with the rest.
Yes.
The third thing we find is we can experience his provision when we do this. Never in her wildest dreams, I don't think, that Jochebed imagined the outcome that she got.
Oh, no.
She's just trying to do what she can to save her baby's life, and it ends up being the Pharaoh's daughter,
mm-hmm.
takes her baby, puts great protection,
mm-hmm.
and pays her to take care of her baby.
Yes.
See, I've often thought about, you know, Jochebed took the baby in, and she took it off to the castle, the palace, wherever she lived at, and the baby was, or not Jochebed, the Pharaoh's daughter, excuse me.
Yeah.
That Pharaoh's daughter took the baby in, took it to the castle, the palace, or whatever, and the baby stayed with Pharaoh's daughter. That's not what the Bible says. She sent Moses back to his home.
Yes.
To be cared for by his mother, and then paid her to take care of him until he was old enough to be weaned. The most formative years of Moses' life was spent with his mother. And then whenever he was weaned, then he would have went and lived with Pharaoh's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that foundation that was laid there, he was sympathetic to the Hebrews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he was grown up, he said, I'm not one of them. I'm one of the Hebrews. And so he ended up being just the deliverer that they needed. And God orchestrated all of it. But whenever she was putting him in that little ark down in the bulrushes, she wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
All through the Bible, we find God exceeding people's expectations whenever they trust him. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. And so it's not, I've got to do it all. I've got to figure it out. I've got to make things happen. It's, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to trust him
yes.
with the results. I'm going to trust him with the outcomes. I'm going to trust him with all the parts that I have no control over. And let's see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he might surprise you. Moses didn't expect the Red Sea to part. He led the people out. He got to the Red Sea. And they were ready to kill him. He says, how am I going to go forward? And he was at his wit's end. And God says, why do you sit here praying to me? Speaking to the people that they move forward. Went to the Red Sea. It parted before him. Had never been done before.
Right.
And so Moses did what he could. God did what he couldn't.
Yes.
They didn't expect Jericho's walls to fall.
Right.
Joseph didn't expect to be a ruler in Egypt.
Yes, for sure.
Whenever he went down there, he's like, okay, I'm going to be a slave the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got thrown in prison. And he's like, oh, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they went from prison to the palace. And he's like, oh, that was unexpected.
Yeah.
David didn't expect the route that he took to the throne.
Yeah.
The disciples expected a national salvation, not a spiritual one.
Right.
They said, Jesus is going to come and he is going to liberate us from the Romans. He's going to save us from them. And Jesus says, no, I want to save you from hell.
Right.
I'm going to save you from the penalty of your sins. It was so much greater than they had imagined. Paul gave his life and his voice to the cause of the gospel, and God used him to turn the world upside down with the gospel.
Right.
He wasn't expecting that. And then those first few men did what they could, and they trusted in God to do what they couldn't. And we are here today as a result of their joint efforts.
Yes.
Right? And so whenever we think about this in our lives, we're going along, we're doing the best that we can. God, I want to please you. God, I want to serve you. I don't have much. Here's my loaves and my fishes, right? Here's the little bit that I have. This is my little bit of ability. It's not much, but God, do what you can with it. He
mm-hmm.
says, okay, I'll take that. I'll multiply it. I'll increase it. And just wait and see what I'll do.
Yeah.
He does that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I can look back over my life,
yes.
and I know that I didn't plan any of it.
Right.
I'm just following him along feebly. And then I look back and I can see where he's worked, where he's provided, over and over and over again.
Yes.
He takes care of us.
Yes.
The last thing that I want to bring out of this passage is a word of caution. Because as I was reading over the passage, I was thinking on it. This is how my messed up mind worked. I started wondering, okay, there's a lot of talk about Moses' mother in this. Where was Amram at? Where was the father? Was he not in on this? Was he not doing anything with it? And then I got to thinking a little bit further. What about all the other moms? What about all the other babies? We just read about Jochebed. We just read about Moses. We just read about the ark and the bulrushes. What about everybody else?
Right.
We don't get the whole story. Mm-hmm. But knowing God, I'm sure that he was at work in other people's lives. I'm sure he was bringing about miraculous deliverances for other babies. I don't know how he was orchestrating everything, but I have a feeling that he was protecting others as well.
Yeah.
Look at what happened with the midwives and the delivering of the babies and things. There's times God intervenes. And I'm pretty sure that Amram probably played a part in all this as well. I can imagine that he was helping Jochebed to hide the baby. I can imagine that they were brainstorming together to figure out what the next step was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the emphasis is on this passage. There was a lot of things that would have been going on that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
And I think it would be helpful if we realize that in our lives as well. There's a lot that's going on around us that we're not aware of.
Yes.
And really, it's not our business. We don't need to be aware of it. And so my final thought for us here today is don't worry about everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you can. Trust God to do what you can. Just wait and see how he works it out. And don't be looking around at what everybody else is doing. Because it's tempting to look at everyone else, to see what they're doing, to see what God's doing in their lives, to think they're not doing it right, or they are doing it right, or they should be doing it this way. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 warns us that comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise.
Yes.
And I don't believe it's a good use of our time either. In John chapter 21 and verse 21... Peter had denied Jesus, right? Cock crew, right? Peter went fishing. Jesus came, called from the shore. Peter came in, went for a walk with Jesus, and Jesus is in the process of bringing restoration to Peter.
Yeah.
And he says, "Do you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." You remember all that?
Yes.
And in the midst of all that, he looks back and he sees John falling behind. And he says, "Okay, Lord, what about him? What's he going to do?" And Jesus looks at him and essentially says, "It's none of your business. Don't worry about what he's going to do. Follow me. Follow me." See, as we're going through our lives, there are going to be people who seem to be doing better, people who seem to be doing worse. There's going to be people who we would agree with and people that we don't. We're going to be encouraged by some, discouraged by others. If our eyes are in the wrong place.
Yes.
And so there's going to be people who's going to do more or do less. They're going to trust more. They're going to trust less. But it's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spend your time looking at everybody else, you're not going to be looking at Jesus.
Right.
And so what does God expect of us? I think the first thing that he expects of us is to love him and desire to please him.
Yes.
That's simple enough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the orienting factor here. Am I seeking to please him? Do I want his will for my life? Okay, if I do, then okay, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to ask God, what would he have me to do? I'm going to be seeking, what am I able to do? I'm going to try to be making the best decisions I can with the information that I have, and then I'm going to be trusting him with the rest.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust him with the outcomes. I'm going to trust him with the connections. I'm going to trust him with the moving of other people's hearts, of putting people in the right places, of crossing paths at the right time, making the right opportunities, because I can't do that, but he can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust him with all the things that I have no control over. I'm going to trust the process, and I'm going to be patient as God provides and as he guides.
Yes.
I'm going to let God take care of everyone else just like he's taking care of me.
Yes.
That's simple enough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so you do your job, you let God do his job, and you're going to be surprised how it all turns out.
Yeah.
Final thing that I want to say here today is whenever it comes to the matter of salvation, we have a part.
Yeah.
We don't work for our salvation. We don't earn our salvation, but Jesus has done the part that we can.
Yeah.
We can't pay the penalty for our sins. We can't die for our own sins, because if we die in our sins, we go to devil's hell forever, separated from him.
Yes.
But he leaves it up to us. He says, whosoever will may come. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, you can't save yourself, but you can put your trust in me to save you.
Yes.
He did his part. And our part is simply trusting him.
Right.
Seeing ourselves as a sinner in need of a Savior and putting our full faith and trust in him to save our soul.
Mm-hmm.
He did what we can't, and all we must do is what we can.
Mm-hmm.
She sung there a little while ago about God sees the storm from the other side. As we think about whenever the disciples were out on the sea, Peter says, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the sea. And Peter started walking on water. Right? Remember the story?
Yeah.
And he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, there was no way that he could save himself. And he said, Lord, save me.
Yes.
And Jesus pulled him out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Peter cried out, Lord, save him.
Yeah.
You look at the thief on the cross. He had been railing against Jesus. He had been mocking and ridiculing Jesus with the other thief in the same amount of time that they were there on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stopped. He considered for just a moment. And he realized that Jesus was not just another man on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Was not just another thief. But realized he was in fact the Son of God. And he looked at Jesus and he says, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't save himself. He couldn't come off the cross. And he says, I know I'm a sinner. He said, we're on here. We deserve to be on this cross. But this means nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And so he cried out and said, Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you enter into your kingdom, remember me. And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Yes.
God does what we can't. God saves us because we can't save ourselves. The only thing he expects of us is for us to place our faith in him. And if you have done that, continue following him, continue serving him to the best that you're able. It's all he requires. And trust him with the outcomes. And you'll be amazed what happens.
Yes.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for this time that we've had here in church today. I pray, Lord, that it's been a help and encouragement, Lord. I know we go through different trials and tests and difficulties, Lord. I know oftentimes we're questioning what you'd require of us and how we should handle things. And maybe we get stressed and anxious about it whenever. In reality, Lord, I know that you are reasonable, Lord, that you are a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, help us, Lord, just to take these truths, apply them to our lives. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves, Lord, as in need, Lord. We see our ability where it's at, Lord, and we do what we can and trust you with the rest, Lord. And if there's anyone here today that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that even now they would call out to you, that they would place their faith and trust in you to save their souls and forgive their sins. Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we thank you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen.